Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart. We're turning to the book of Acts, and we are continuing a series that we started, probably a year ago. In this book of Acts, it's entitled Building His Church. And I'm in chapter 16, Acts chapter 16 tonight, this morning actually. Acts chapter 16. Let me begin. Going to read beginning in verse number 1, capture a little bit of the context and where we were from last week. Chapter 1, Acts 16. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, that's the Apostle Paul. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained to the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. From thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spoke unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. The title of the message this morning is Divinely Detoured. I don't know about you, but there's oftentimes been places when we have encountered detours, mainly as you drive. If you were recently in Flemington, you saw that Main Street was blocked right at the circle. And if you were going to go down through, you'd have to take a detour. Now, how would you deal with a detour? Some people think, I don't care about a detour. I'm just going to barrel through here and just drive down, and I'm going to go where I'm going to go because I don't like detours. Who do they think they are trying to detour us around? I've got a schedule to meet. I've got demands to meet. I've got a place to go. Therefore, get out of my way. How would that go over? Especially with a policeman who's sitting there with his lights flashing and sitting in his squad car, right? Wouldn't go very well. The other thing you can do with a detour is accept it and adjust to it. That's what a lot of people have to do, because you can't barrel through a detour. You can't barrel through it. It could be very perilous. If they're working on a bridge and you decide that you're going to Just go through this detour and forget it. As far as the signs are concerned, you'll find yourself driving off the road because the bridge is out, and you may kill yourself because you were stubborn enough and rebellious enough not to consider the detour was for your own benefit and your own good. Are there ever any detours in the Christian life? Does God ever put up any detours in your ministries? Are there ever any detours you encounter because God is redirecting or God has a different plan? Well, in this episode, in Paul's second missionary journey, the itinerary was all laid out. Always going according to plan. You look at verses 4 and 5. They pick up Timothy and they're on their way and they're going to all these cities where they had been before on their first missionary journey, and they're encouraging the churches and they're meeting people and they're seeing growth and they're just having a great time as they go visit each of the cities in which they had been on their first journey. Encouraging to see and learn what God was doing. What a blessing. People are growing. Churches are expanded. What a blessing. Amen. While they are following their plan, God had different plans. No surprise, should it be? Because who are the servants and who is the Lord here? That's where, if we meet a detour in our spiritual lives, we got to remember something. He is God, we are not. He is the Lord, we're his servants. He is the master. He knows why he would put a detour in there, because he knows all things. And we barely know what we know. And we better not think that we know what we think, because sometimes what we think we know is not what we really do know. Because God knows everything. Are you willing to adjust? Are you willing to accept when God may bring a detour into your life? Well, how do we see this? Two parts that we want to look at. Number one, your established plans may suddenly change. This is verses 6 through 10. How do we know they change? Well, you have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit's preferences. In other words, the Spirit of God's working, the Spirit of God's directing. You got to be, I could just end as saying, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because look in this passage. They're in Phrygia and Galatia. You can see there that they were forbidden because Phrygia is to the west, Galatia to the northeast, and they were forbidden. Nope. Who forbids them? It wasn't the Roman authorities. It wasn't the Jewish leadership, the religious aristocracy. Matter of fact, they were the ones who gave some difficulty and tried to interfere when it came to the first missionary journey, Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, and other places. The Holy Spirit of God. You see where it says forbidden? The idea of being hindered, that being cut off, kept out. Now, how would the Holy Spirit of God make this known to Paul, who then helped the others to know about it? It's a very good question, because it is the Holy Spirit of God who is greatly involved in this missionary work, right? Look at the different passages where we see the Holy Spirit involved. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "And after that you shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And when he has come upon you, you're going to be witnesses." And where are you going to be witnesses? Essentially worldwide. Where are they now? They're unto the uttermost part of the earth. And who's leading and steering them? Because in Acts chapter 13, as well as Acts chapter 15, it seemed to be the Spirit of God was directing them to go into the uttermost part of the earth on these missionary journeys. Acts chapter 4, before Paul, when they had prayed, that's Peter, John, and the other believers, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. By the way, prior to all that, Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God came, filled these believers. They spoke in the languages of the people to hear in their language, and they heard the word of God. Consistency all the way across. People got saved, 3,000 added to the 120. Acts 13. Here's where we just mentioned. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So the Holy Spirit of God is instrumental in this whole missionary effort. Acts 15. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. We could also look back in Acts chapter 8. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go join yourself unto that man, the Ethiopian eunuch, who is there at the chariot." So the Holy Spirit of God is greatly involved. Now, why would the Spirit forbid him from going into an area that he wants to spread the gospel? And how does he know this? By the way, how would you know if the Holy Spirit of God was changing your plans and changing your direction? Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at a few things about the Holy Spirit of God's working here. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. He says this, Paul writing, and in this section, you're putting on, putting off. You are discarding the things of the old ways. You're putting on the things of the new ways. So you're going from the pre-Christian life to the post-Christian life. Verse 30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption." What is he saying? Every believer has the Holy Spirit of God indwelling. So if you're here this morning and you are saved, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you. He is taking up a residence in you. Can you see him? No. Do you feel him? Any vibrations? Any sensations? Misty, cloudy things? No. How do you know the Holy Spirit of God is in you, and how do you know you're grieving him? Now jump back to chapter 5. You're in Ephesians. Jump over, I should say, chapter 5. Look at verse number 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. He says, "Do not be drunk with wine, where it is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." The word filled means controlled. So I believe if you look at this passage, and you could also go to 1 Thessalonians 5 where he says, "Quench not the Spirit." So for Paul to recognize and discern the Spirit of God's working, he has to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you become controlled by the Holy Spirit, right? You can't just turn a switch. You can't move a dial. But I will say this. Every one of us can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God's working as we would yield to his control. Now, how do you yield to his control? You say no to yourself. You say no to your personal ambitions. You say no to the passions of your flesh and everything else. Let me give you an example. All right. So a couple of weeks ago, I'm in my office and I'm thinking I should go visit so-and-so. And I couldn't shake it. I need to go visit this person. I need to make an appointment to go visit this person. Where does that come from? Is it just my own mind? I think it's that the Holy Spirit of God in me, prompting me, directing me. I call, text, "Is it okay if I stop by?" When I got there, the person said, "I'm so glad you came. There's some things I need to talk about." How? If I am yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, if I am saying no to myself, and also I believe Paul and his missionary team being controlled by the Spirit is involving a saturation of the Scriptures, because who inspired the Word of God? The Holy Spirit. The Word of God is directing them as well as prayer. By the way, there are times when you pray, you don't know how to pray. Who helps you to pray? The Holy Spirit inside of you. By the way, too, in the book of Hebrews, or in the book of Jude, we are praying in the Spirit. So we've got to remember the Holy Spirit of God has a big part to play in your Christian life. And so therefore, if you're going to be sensitive to the Spirit to be able to detect whether He is redirecting you or not, I think it's a good thing to be saturated with the Scriptures, consistent in prayer, and attuned to, and I don't want to get all esoteric and mystical and all this, but you have to know the Spirit of God is in you. And those promptings that come, I think you need to go visit this person. I think you need to pray about this. I think you need to preach this. The next series for Sunday school should be this. Or, I don't think you want to go there. I remember as a kid, I shared this illustration. If you've heard it, bear with me. In sixth grade, they had a middle school, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, middle school dance. And they were going to have this wonderful thing in the cafeteria. Well, there was a girl I liked, and she liked me. She was in seventh grade. Dan, come to the dance. I said, I can't come. Why not? My mom won't let me. Oh, come on. It'll be fun. I've never been to one of those things. My mother said, you're not going. You know why? She knew what went on at those kind of things. And so the Spirit of God, I'm saved. All right. I said, I don't. And I grieved the Spirit of God by begging my mother and asking her, please let me go. I gave all the excuses. Do you ever do this to your moms or your dads? You don't want me to ever have any fun. Everybody else is doing it. You don't know what I could learn from this experience. I think it'd be a good thing so that I could see exactly what happens. I gave all the arguments. I finally convinced her, even though deep down inside, don't go. Don't go. So I go, and I come walking up the stairs, and it's kind of dark. I'm thinking, what? How people see what they're going to do? And I'm going in there, and there's Jackie. She comes up, hey, Dan. She gives me a big hug. And I said, good, let's dance. I said, what does that mean? And you just move. Move. Yeah, I watched everybody out there, and I thought they had ants in their pants or something, because they were moving and grooving in ways that seemed like they were hurting and all kind of other things, twerking and all this other good stuff. So I said, all right, I'll try this. And I'm like, you know, you look more like a robot. Anyway, so we go and sit down, and I'm looking over in the corner. I'm like, what's he? Wow. Look at that. And there were things going on that I can't even tell you because I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed. See, the Spirit of God was saying, don't go. And now there are memories embedded in me, and I wish I could shake them, and I wish I wouldn't have gone. I did learn from it. It gives me a good sermon illustration. But you know something? When the Holy Spirit of God is moving inside of you, prompting you to do or not to do, because He will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. That's why when you're in the Word of God, you'll know whether it's of the Spirit or not. And you pray for discernment. You pray for wisdom. I believe Paul was sensitive to the Spirit of God's working, so however the Spirit of God made it known to him, all right, we won't go. So they don't go into the area. They don't go into the region. Look what happens next. Getting back to the text. Back to the book of Acts chapter 16. All right. So we see here now that another point to be made about this is the Holy Spirit of God and God Himself. You could be scratching your head in this and say, hey, wait a minute. The Spirit of God says to do this. Now He says, don't do it. Listen, the Bible says, God is not the author of confusion. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, which happens to be in that context of the gifts, the ministry gifts of the Holy Spirit, particularly tongues and prophecy. But also in Isaiah 55, Look at what it says in Isaiah 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Who's in control of your life? Are you sensitive to the Spirit of God? Can you recognize those times where He says, do this, don't do this, go there, don't go there? Would you pray this way? Father, would you help me to be so sensitive to the Spirit of God's working that I'd be an effective minister for you, doing what you want, going where you say, doing what your will is, and discerning if you would forbid me or you would prompt me to go. Would you pray that way? And be prepared for the Lord to answer. Maybe I should ask it this way. Do you pray regularly for the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God's working in your life? Do you pray consistently? Sometimes I think we neglect the Spirit of God's working in our lives and we miss many opportunities that would otherwise be presented to us. Well, they were ready to go. They wanted to go. Let's continue. We're back to Acts chapter 16. And it says they were forbidden. All right, so what do they do? They weren't going to preach the word in Asia. So after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit suffered them not. Yeah, the word means He would not allow it. It implies some misgiving. You know, there may be some things that you would want to do for the Lord, but the Lord says no. Remember David? David wants to build a temple for the Lord. And Nathan says, go do it. Do whatever in your heart. And then God tells Nathan, go tell David. No, you're not going to build the temple. You know what David did? He accepted and he adjusted. All right, Lord, I'll help my son to have all the materials and I'll gather all those things for him to build the temple. Was that a noble thing that David wanted to do? Yeah. But God said, no. Is it possible that there might be some things you want to do? God says, no. Are there some things that maybe you do want to do and you're saying no? That's where, again, being sensitive to the Spirit of God's working and accepting if He says no and adjusting and then also accepting when He says yes. So they are going into Bithynia. And look at what it says as well. When you look at the word assayed, it's interesting to point out what he's mentioning here. And I'm looking down through in verse number 7, after they came to Mysia, they essayed to go. What does that mean? The idea of put to the test, to try, to attempt to know whether something can be done. So they were forbidden here, and now they're kind of putting to the test that we go there. And the Spirit said, no. So they passed by Mysia, came to Troas. Verse number 8, we get to the second point. And that is, not only are we sensitive to the Spirit of God's preferences, but we're submissive to the Spirit of God's redirection. So you recognize the Spirit of God is saying no. Now what do? Here we have a third time that the Spirit of God or God is working in directing this missionary team because Paul, he's got who's with him, Silas, and who else is with him? Timothy, and who else? There may be some others. Luke just joined them. You see the we reference there? So catch this for a moment. It is imperative that Paul is sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit of God because not only does he want to minister, but he's also responsible for those who are with him in this ministry. May I say something, dads, parents, leaders of any kind? It is incumbent upon you to really be sensitive to the Spirit of God's working so that you can provide good, honest, integrity, direction to your family, to your kids, to those who are under you. If God's given you a position of leadership, that's where the Spirit of God's working is paramount in helping you to be the most effective leader. And you have to be sensitive to His direction because He may redirect you. I appreciate my mom. There were many things that she knew by experience as well as by the Word of God that would not be good for me. And there are other things she knew I needed to do. And I think back on it. Thank you, Mom. I would trust and pray that our kids one day would be able to say to us, thank you. Preventing me from doing something really dumb or encouraging me to do something I really needed to do. By the Spirit of God's working that we were able. It was Mark Twain, I believe he said, I was amazed at age 18 how little my father knew. But when I became 21, I realized how much he really learned. Like, no, I don't think so. I think you understood a little bit more later on than what you did earlier on. So we're going to be submissive to the Holy Spirit of God's redirection. You see where it says Troas. So passing by, as the Spirit directed, they're no longer in this area of Galatia or Phrygia. They wanted to go to Mysia, Bithynia. Now they're going to go to Troas. You see it, it's all the way on the left on that western side of what is known as Asia. Not Asia proper, but Asia according to the Roman territories that they had established. Troas is a Roman colony. It's a port of call for those sailing between Asia and Macedonia. And while they were there, a vision appeared. What's this vision? The word vision carries with it the idea of a spiritual seeing something that has an impact in which you are beholding and paying attention to what's in front of you. It's a heavenly vision. And what is this vision? Well, he sees a man of Macedonia. Where's Macedonia? You travel further west and you're going to see the region of Macedonia. That's where Philippi and Neapolis is. He's standing. He's not sitting. Perfect tense of the verb carries with it the idea of it's a stationary standing position, one of urgency. Praying. The word praying carries with it the idea of beseeching, imploring. Present tense of this participle has the idea of an ongoing. It's not just a once and done. It's a repeated action. Come! The idea is after you come, as you're sailing along, as you're going through, come and help us. The word help. It's an interesting word. It means to run and meet an urgent distress call. Quickly respond to a serious need. Come to the rescue. Turn back with me in Mark chapter 9. You're going to see how this word appears with Jesus' ministry and a man who is pleading on behalf of his son in his demoniac condition. Mark chapter 9. Look at verse number 22. Mark chapter 9, verse number 22. Well, this is the case. It begins at verse 14. Came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude. Scribes questioning straightway all the people when they beheld him were greatly amazed, running to him, saluted him. Asked the scribes what question. One of the multitude answered and said, I have brought unto you my son. He had a dumb spirit. In other words, he couldn't speak. A demoniac who was not able to utter any words. Wheresoever he takes him, he tears him. Foams and gnashes with him at his teeth and pines away. And I spoke, he's suicidal. He's manic. He's absolutely outside of himself. He's doing crazy things. Spoke to your disciples, they should cast him out. They could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I allow you, suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought him unto him. When he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. He asked his father, how long is it since this child came, or how this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Oftentimes it casts them into the fire, into the waters to destroy them. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The dire condition. Disciples couldn't help. They couldn't cast out the demon. This boy was vexed repeatedly, torn, maniacal. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That word help is the same word. So he's asking help for his son, which is a dire condition. He asked help for himself, which is a dire condition. And this man from Troas is seeking help because of the dire condition. We need the gospel. We need hope. We need help. We need God. So what happens? Back to Acts chapter 16. After he had seen the vision, what's the next word? Immediately. You aren't going into Galatia and Phrygia. You're prevented from Bithynia, Mysia. You're going to Macedonia. This is European area. God has a change of plans. Trust him. Accept and adjust. Paul's itinerary, Paul's plans, Paul's schedule, pretty well all laid out. We're going to visit all the churches we've been before. And we're going to strengthen the brethren. We're going to encourage them. We're going to just see how they're all doing. God says, got different plans. You know what Paul could do? Hey, Lord, I got plans. Come on. I got all these men I'm responsible for. We already laid this out. But we don't have enough of food and all the provisions. We're going somewhere different than we planned and we thought. God says, your ways are not my ways. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. I don't think Paul argued. Otherwise, you wouldn't have that word immediately. And you know what else is indicated here? When there is a sensitivity to, and there is a submission to the Holy Spirit, there's no arguing. That prompting that I, and that's one incident of numerous ones. I'll never forget, Terry Rakowski called, mentioned that her husband Joe, he was in the hospital. Things didn't look good. She calls me, and I'm on my way. I forget where I was going on an errand. She said, Pastor Joe's not doing well. He's probably going to pass away. I said, be right there. I'm all right here in Waller Ferran. And immediately in my mind, all of a sudden what came to my mind was John 14, 1 through 3. I'm thinking, what, Lord, is this? Joe passed away that day. It was Saturday. I think it was Saturday. Right, Terry? I think it was Saturday. And that Sunday, like John 14, 1 through 3. My sermon's already done, Lord. I got everything all complete. You know what time it is? John 14, 1 through 3. Okay, Lord. Actually, I didn't. I said, okay, Lord. So I go and see, and I go back to the office. And it was one of the fastest sermons ever prepared because God was in it. And that Sunday morning, just preach. Maybe it wasn't a Saturday. I might be wrong on that. But it was a relatively short time. My sermon was pretty well done. You know what God says? Troutman, I got different plans for you. You know what we should do? Oh, this is good, Lord. Thank you. I love change of plans. I love when you make changes for me. Because it's for my benefit. This is for my good. This is something I'm going to learn from this. You're such a great God. Thank you for detouring me. We should say that, right? Oftentimes, like a detour, change of plans. Lord, I don't like change. I had it all set. If I do that, then who's really in control? There are times God's going to say, I got to change the plans. Paul wakes up. Nobody else saw this except Paul. Immediately, guys, we're going over to Macedonia. We're going to Macedonia. Macedonia, Paul, that we're going to Macedonia. The Lord said so. And you go back to the passage here. We endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering. Look at this. Assuredly gathering, the Lord called us for the preaching of the gospel to them. The redirection was understood then. They all. God's taking us there to preach. Have you been to Macedonia before? No, I haven't been there. What's it like? I don't know. But if the Lord's moving us, that's the place we need to be. The safest place you can be is in the center of God's will. So assuredly going, they bring together, they formulate this conclusion. By the way, are we attentive to the times when God may redirect and move? Are we listening to the voice of God inside, the Holy Spirit of God's working? It's so interesting here. It doesn't say, and they understood that the Spirit was moving them. Look at what it says. Assuredly gathering, the Lord hath called us to preach there. So you have the Holy Spirit of God working and a recognition that the Lord is over all. We're going. And they go to preach the good news. Oh, I pray that we accept God's authority over his life so that whatever he says, we do. It's not a good thing to fight against God. Moses learned that lesson. Remember Moses? God says, I got a plan for you, Moses. Yeah, I don't think so, Lord. I can't speak very well. Who made your tongue? And look at what Moses accomplished when he submitted to what God wanted him to do. Initially, he wasn't in favor of it. And a couple of times he said, Lord, and then I've been reading through the book of Deuteronomy, as a matter of fact, in the book of Numbers earlier, and there's a time and a place, Lord, if these people continue, would you blot my name out for their sake? He would be willing to die and go to hell in order for this nation, God's covenant people, to continue and to be able to be supported and be blessed. When you're in the center of God's will and God's Holy Spirit is working, that is the place of blessing and that is the place of peace. That is the place of security. And you know what's really another blessing here? Paul said, we're going to Macedonia. We're going to Paul. They recognized that the Spirit of God was working in his life. They're going to have to trust his leadership. They're going to have to trust what he is sensing the Lord doing. That's why dads, parents, you're sensitive to the Spirit of God's leading in your life and God's making a change or redirecting. Okay, Dad, we trust you because we know you walk with God. We know you're a man of the Word of God. And we know you're a man of prayer. We'll follow. We don't know where we're going, Dad, but we're following. Second of all, notice what happens. So your established plans may suddenly change, but your ordained purpose must never change. Verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia and the next day to Neapolis. From thence to Philippi, chief city of that part of Macedonia. It's interesting because the Troas man, or the vision he received in Troas, didn't specify where. Come over and help us. Paul goes to the major city of the Macedonian region, Philippi. And so what happens? Loosing, they departed, set sail, following the given directions. They made a straight course. The idea is they boarded a ship with favorable winds, went directly and immediately toward the region of Macedonia. Samothracia, that's a well-known island off the coast of Thrace in the Aegean Sea. He probably stayed the night there, went to Neapolis. That's a seaport town in Macedonia. It's 12 miles from Philippi. And so, by the way, will you continue where God's directing you with the same purpose in mind? How do we know what purpose they're doing? Well, they come to Philippi. Philippi is both the capital city, it's a military outpost. Probably filled with Roman occupation. A lot of Roman citizens, not a lot of Jewish men, as we will see later. They enjoyed all the freedoms afforded them as a European city. And they were abiding there. They stayed for some time. It's interesting as well because the directions only said, come to Macedonia. How long? Where do we go? None of that was given. All they knew was what we're going to do. We're going to go there and preach. That's our purpose. We're going to make disciples. That's our purpose. We're going to establish churches. That's our purpose. We're going to train pastors. That's our purpose. You see, the plans changed, but the purpose never changed. So you get down, and it says in verse number 13, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. In other words, on the Sabbath, they usually went where? They usually went into the synagogue. And as a guest speaker, Paul would usually be allowed to speak and present and share the gospel. There's no synagogue here. That's likely because for a synagogue to be established, you needed 10 adult Jewish males. 10 bar mitzvahed males. That means ages 12 or 13 and above. Apparently, there weren't enough of them to establish a synagogue here in Philippi. Or it may have been because of the decree of Claudius. He was expelling Jews from the whole Roman Empire. Get out. Prayer was wont to be made. What became customary. That's what the word means. Outside of the city limits, by the riverside, was a designated place for a scheduled prayer service. We don't have the leadership as far as a synagogue, so we'll gather together, and the women gather together to do what? To pray. By the way, here's another good reference for the people of God, praying together. Praying together. If you're not in the custom of praying, start in your family. Husbands and wives, let me encourage you. Pray. Men, look at me. Men, as the leader of your homes, you need to take that initiative. Parents with your children, take the initiative. Pray together. You may have some major decisions. You may have some situations coming up. You may have time to pray. I shared the illustration where we were renting on Main Street, right down here, at not too far from the pizza place, which is now Gabby's. Landlord calls me and says, hey, Dan, how you doing? We're putting the house up for sale. And this is when real estate was hot. Remember the time they gave, the agents gave clients pagers? Because when houses came up, they were like going and they were being bidding wars. I said, oh, okay, no problem. When do you think? I won't be for a little while yet. I think this was on a Friday. Tuesday, I come back from the office and there's a for sale sign in front of the house. Our family devotions changed. I said, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. And you know what God did? Well, a real estate agent calls me. Hello, are you Mr. Troutman? Yes, I am. Hi, I'm Russ Oaks. I'm from Century. And I said, oh, good to meet you. Good to have you call. What's going on? The house is under contract. Oh, it is. And when's the closing? Well, out of courtesy, we're going to give you about 30 days. Okay, thank you. We're going to pray some more. So my real estate agent calls me and said, hey, Dan, this house just came up on the market. I don't know where it is, Washington Street. I said, where's Washington Street? I've been in Flemington for 2.5, 3 years. Where's Washington Street? It's over by the old Raritan Township buildings. Oh, there's a street there? If you want it, if you want to look at it, I know the agent who's listing it. I said, okay, this is 4 p.m. Dawn's happened to be in my office. Just happened to be there, right? I gave her my phone. I say, honey, go check this out. It's 9 Washington Street. Tell me what you think. If you think it's something we could look at, and it's affordable. She gets there. 5 minutes later, honey, can we see this place? I call Fred. Fred, can we see this place? He said, I'll call the agent. And the agent happened to be in his office. And he said, there's no key, there's no lockbox, go ahead. Fred calls, he calls me back and says, Dan, I'll meet you in 5 minutes. I get out of my office, Don's there with the kids, and we go, and the guy's there, it's an estate sale, the son-in-law is selling a motorcycle to this other guy, and I start talking, what do you do? I'm a pastor. Oh, what church? And the story witness, the guy's a believer. Praise the Lord. Do you mind if we look? No, go look around. We walk in, a little smaller than we like. Fred says, Dan, you better jump on this because this is going to go. He said, this price, a little higher, you can offer less. Now it's $440. All right, Fred, offer him a little less. He calls them, the agent comes back. Nope, they want full price. All right, tell them we'll give them full price. How much is the check? You got to have $1,000 at least, okay? 6 o'clock, we own the house. God. He was redirecting our plans. He was reworking. And instead of, oh, somebody had asked me at church, because I said, let's pray. Aren't you worried? And I said, no, I would be worried. I said, well, you're doing enough for me. I don't need to do any, you know. I'm not worried. God's at work. And I could go through list after list of items in which God has redirected, and he's blessed in it. And these women are here, and Paul, he joins on them and starts teaching them. What does he teach them? I don't know exactly. But he capitalized on this opportunity. The word spoke, a repeated, instructing, discipling. And man, I don't know how long it even lasted. Let me ask you a question. When the Lord redirects and he brings you an opportunity, you capitalize on it? You know what we do when changes happen? Lord, why are you changing me? Lord, I don't understand what's going on. Lord, help me to figure this out. But what about this? And what about all of a sudden the opportunity is right there? And I'm like, I'm so caught up in the change that I miss the opportunity. If the Lord redirects, he is redirecting. Accept and adjust. What's next? Opportunity. You see, not only are they proactive in Christ's great commission, but second of all, and in conclusion, they are productive of Christ's gospel message. A certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Let's look at our map once again. Where's Thyatira? Well, you see Philippi here in this bay region. Thyatira, that's down there, not too far from Phrygia. By the way, this is part of the seven church horseshoe that includes Ephesus and Philadelphia and Sardis, Laodicea. She's all the way down. It's a 300-mile journey. She's up there on business. And she's there and she's part of this lady group. And she gets singled out. She was a worshiper of God. The idea of worship, holding God in high respect, showing the reverence or awe. Someone who's devout, repeated practice, very much the same as was mentioned of Cornelius. I don't believe this means she was saved, but she had a God-oriented sensitivity. When she heard, look at that, she heard. The idea there is listening, paying attention to what is being taught. As she heard, the Lord did what? God opened her heart. The word open carries with it the idea of, with the scriptures, the teaching of it, and the Spirit of God's working, a convictor aroused in her the faculty of understanding. Same word that was used in Luke chapter 24. Remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Then he opened their understanding they might understand the scriptures. The Spirit of God illumined their minds, just like he did with Lydia. And this is what Paul later wrote in Acts chapter 26, that when he was given the commission to do what? To open their eyes. He doesn't do any of the opening. God does it. And through the Word of God, you can see sandwiched in between open, she was listening and attended to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This dear lady was listening to the scriptures, and she was hearing the Word of God. And she personally understood, accepted, and was converted. By the way, Purpose never changes. The Word of God is all powerful. God changed the plans. He didn't change the Word. He didn't change anything about the purpose. You know something, 2,000 years later, our purpose is still the same? Share the Word. Let God do His work in the hearts of the people. Romans 10:17, as you see on the next slide, it carries with it the idea of giving. I pray that we are giving people an opportunity to respond to the gospel message. Are you sharing the good news? But you know, listen, catch this for a moment. In order for the Word of God to be given out, you've got to have the Word of God taken in. Even during the preaching and even during your daily devotions, are you listening to God? Are you letting God speak to your heart? Lydia was with rapt attention. That's what the words mean. She was listening, she heard, and she was attending. She was glued. She was hungry. And the Word of God made that difference. And what does she do afterwards? She gets baptized. And those in her household. Now, that doesn't mean there was infant baptism here. We can't infer that. But it means those who believe got baptized, because only believers can be baptized. She knew. Salvation, next thing is baptism. By the way, if you're here today and you need to be baptized, you've been saved already, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, baptism is not an option, it's the next thing. It is to be that which is done so that you can publicly declare and proclaim your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. It says in Matthew 28, that's part of the Great Commission. That's part of the purpose. See, the purpose doesn't change. The plans change. Well, we're going to new people. Doesn't matter. People need the gospel. They need salvation. They need to be baptized. And then what happens next? As we close this all out, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, the idea actually is, if you have seen my genuine conversion and you see my commitment to Christ, would you come stay at my house? So she apparently had a house there. She was from Thyatira, but she was doing business up there. This is what you call biblical hospitality. Biblical hospitality, yes, yeah, part of the reason we have a church directory, you know, where people live, and you can have people that would be able to get together with you, and you can fellowship together, perhaps even pray together, amen? That'd be good. So these men, Paul, Silas, Timothy, Luke, and whoever else, detour, no problem. I trust God. Change of plans, no argument. I accept it and I adjust. Why? God's in control. Are you demonstrating this type of a mentality? Do you also then help others with the same purpose God has given to you? Look at the final paragraph and then we'll pray. Since the Lord is all-knowing and controlling all, He can bring about a change of plans as He chooses. You might want to circle that. He chooses. In building His church, His builders must accept His leading and to do what He wants to take the gospel unto the uttermost part of the earth. It is thus imperative to consistently yield to the Holy Spirit of God, to follow His leading, to minister as He would have us to do and where He would have us to go. Though we may not see it as He does, we adjust. We don't argue. We accept. And we continue to do His work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that You are the all-knowing God. Thank You, Lord, that Your ways are not our ways. Thank You that Your ways are higher. Oh, Lord, we wrestle because in our humanity, in our pride, our stubbornness, even yea, too, Lord, sometimes our manipulations and our rebellion, we don't accept what You're doing. Father, forgive me for my times of wanting my way instead of Your way. Father, help me ever be sensitive to your Holy Spirit so I may do what you want according to your will as found in your word, so I may be in your way, that would get out of the way. Not in your way as an obstacle, but in your way, like Eliezer said, being in the way the Lord led me. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, how about you? Are you sensitive to the Spirit of God's working? Are you yielded to His control? Is He in charge, really? Maybe you're here and your prayer is similar to mine. Lord, help me to be more sensitive to your Holy Spirit's working. Help me not to miss your promptings. Pray for me, Pastor. Here's my hand. I need to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God's directing, whether it's redirection or whether it's staying where I'm at. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Yes, 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 yes. Anyone else? Now, maybe you're here and the sensitivity you need is to salvation in Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, you don't have the Spirit of God in you. If you're not saved, you're on your way, a collision course with hell. God wants to save your soul. He loves you so much. With an uplifted hand, Pastor, pray for me. I need salvation in Jesus Christ. Pray for me. My prayer won't save you. Pray for me, Pastor. Here's my hand. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Anyone else? Father, oh, may your Spirit move. May your Spirit work not just here in the silence of the last part of this service, not just in this prayer that is being prayed, but oh God, may we all be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. For those who are, keep them, maintain it, develop it even further. For those who've replaced it or lapsed, bring it back, Lord. Bring them back to the place. For those who have not yet learned it, oh Lord, from this passage of Scripture, the explanations, illustrations, would you help them to be sensitive to your Spirit's working? For these lifting their hands, you know hands and hearts. You know what's going on. Would you bless mightily, greatly? Those seeking the assurance of salvation, may you grant that. And Lord, even as this last song we're going to sing, may we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.